Our second lesson of Scripture today is from the pastoral letter to Timothy, the second pastoral letter to Timothy. I'll begin with chapter 4, sharing verses 6 through 8, and then after Paul gives some personal instructions, we'll pick up again at verse 16 through 18. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first offense, no one came to support me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, I was glad to see that Cole still had his Ole Miss football shirt on today. He's a brave one, isn't he? Those of us that continue to wear the red and blue and the maroon and white on days like this are truly faithful fans, right? In other words, it's hard to be an Ole Miss and Mississippi State fan. Amen? Takes a lot out of us. And why does it take a lot out of us? Because, let's be honest, we like to win. And we don't always win as often as we would like to. You know, that seems to be human nature, to like and yearn to win. And it really, I don't think, says anything less about our faith if we like to win. One of the great matriarchs of the faith that I met a few years ago was a little lady named Faye Sanders, and Faye died just a couple of weeks ago after suffering from a stroke. She was what many of us call in the faith a prayer warrior. Even as her body became physically incapacitated to go and do what she once could so actively, she became that much more fervent in her prayer life. In other words, she did what she could. In the words of Scripture, she did the best she could, Judge Elliott, as we've reminisced before on those texts. And Faye, being a prayer warrior, it was said during her funeral service that once she started praying for the Marshall Academy football team when they were going through a losing stretch. And as she bowed, she sent word to the team that she was praying for them. And finally someone got the nerve up to say to Miss Faye, "Miss Faye, do you really think God cares if we win or if we lose? Will he really answer your prayers asking for a win?" Because she prayed that they would win. She said, "I don't know, but if the other team doesn't ask, he might give it to us instead." So she asked. You never know. We like to win. It's the nature of who we are as people and even as people of faith. Well, we're not the first. Miss Faye isn't the first. It's found in Scripture, the hunger to win. Paul said this in his letter to the church in Corinth. In chapter 9 of that first letter Paul wrote, he said, "In a race, all compete, but only one wins. He says only one wins the prize, so we should run in such a way that we might win. There it is. Paul's desire to win. It's part of who we are. But one thing we must understand and appreciate on this appetite that we, like the Apostle Paul, we, like Miss Faye Sanders, had that hunger to win. We have to remember what winning will give us. And you know what I found? This is hard to say for a competitive person like me. What I have found to be true in life is that winning doesn't give us joy. And you know what else it does? It may not even give us happiness. Sometimes it just satisfies us. Let me give you an example. I remember a couple of years ago, they were having one of the Thanksgiving weekend basketball tournaments at Corinth. One of the hotshot tournaments where the elite teams throughout the South gather in this one venue and face stiff competition to see how they measure with the elites in their sport. One of the best teams a couple of years ago was at White Station High School in Memphis. I looked at that team as they went out upon the court, and they had four of their starters who had signed college scholarships with major basketball programs. I thought, wow, it must be fun to be a fan of a team like that. You know why? Because they always win. And that was my thought as I went to the game that night. But you know what? I sat by a few of their fans from White Station, and they weren't smiling. They had scowls on their face. They weren't pleased with the way their team had been playing. They didn't think they were meeting their expectations. Sure, they had still been winning, but in the minds of these fans, they were still underachieving. Because in their words, they wanted more than a win. They wanted a winning effort. You know, that may get to the heart of what our call to faith is. Not pursue only, in the words of Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth, that appetite to win. But when it gets down to it, are we in life, in faith, in relationships, in church, not getting the win, but giving a winning effort? You see, I say that because in our scripture today, it sounds like Paul is wrestling with a defeat, not a win. Our scripture begins with those very familiar words where he says to us, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He's letting us know that his life is near its end. And now he's reflecting back upon all he's done. And I wonder if there isn't words or hints this morning that he didn't accomplish everything that he hoped to accomplish. He was let down, it seems to be, in somewhat in his scripture today. Because Paul says this, he doesn't say in this text that I won the fight. He doesn't say in our text, I won the race. Do you see how Paul has transitioned? Early in Corinthians, he said, we should strive to win. But here he said, I didn't win the fight, but rather I fought the good fight. Here he doesn't say, I won the race. But Paul says, I finished the race. See, Paul may be pushing us here at the end of his ministry and life to understand, church. Hear me now. Hear me, athletes. Hear this, competitive people in your workforce and in your careers at school. You're not always going to win. We're not going to always get what we want. But how can we, like Paul, yearn to find something better than winning and better than even the happiness that comes in winning, but find true joy in the winning effort? In the words of Paul, by fighting the good fight, by finishing the race. You know, that applies in our culture, not just in Scripture. Last week when Ole Miss had lost their game against Arkansas, one of their star players, a young man named Marcus Hayes, he made this statement on his Facebook account. He said, "For all you people that keep talking bad about my teammates and my coaches, just go ahead and drop me from your Facebook because I really don't want to hear it anymore." He said, when we lose a hard fought, there's the word, a hard fought game and have given all we can, that's all we can do. Wow. That young man was speaking the words of Paul here when he said that is our goal in life. That is our goal in athletics, in work, in career. It's not always that we'll win, but can we give the winning effort to glorify God? Isn't that the root of it? And all we do. As Paul ends our scripture today, he says, "To him be glory forever and ever," speaking of Jesus Christ. And that's not just something to come, friends. But if all we do is for God's glory, it isn't for only what's to come. It's for everything, even here and now. Can our life's work, can our career, can our baseball playing, can our band performance, can our choral participation all be for God's glory? Then, friends, I think we're on the path to something that supersedes winning, to something that supersedes happiness, but there is where we find true joy and peace in life. When we fight the good fight, when we finish the race. But friends, don't despair with me today. Remember, I told you I still like to win. And I know as you hear this passage of Scripture today and hear me preach it, you say, "Oh, Jody, that sounds so good here in worship, but I still like to win too. And I yearn to win." That's part of who we are. As human people, we don't have to be ashamed of that. God made us. He knows our nature as His children. We yearn to win. And we understand we may not win every competition in this world, but hear this with me, church. Victory is coming. We will win the race. We will win the battle in life. Do you hear how Paul makes this proclamation in our text today? He says here, as one who has competed, he says in verse 8, "Therefore it is reserved for me the crown of righteousness." The crown of a champion, the crown of the victor, the crown that's found, dear church, in winning. Victory is ours through the Lord, even if it's not into that heavenly realm. And in case you think, well, maybe Jody's reading into that a little bit, Paul says it even more clearly at the end of the passage where he says that God has reserved for me and has saved me for His heavenly kingdom. There's the crown. Friends, this is a hard world. But we're called to give our best effort in everything we do. Understanding, yes, we yearn to win. But knowing that we won't always win, but we can find peace. And yes, I believe joy in giving winning efforts in all we do. Not so much so we may get the glory, but in order that Jesus and the words of Paul here may be glorified through our lives, now and forever. Amen. Let's respond.